This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And on today on Twitter, Mandarin is trending.
Well, let's go back to why, right? It's the start of the school year, and there have been a number of things that have come up regarding subjects we teach in school. Yesterday, we discussed a call for moral to be taught across the board. And today, similar things are happening with vernacular subjects, particularly Mandarin and Tamil. And perhaps the best example of this is a tweet by lawyer Lim Wee Jiet, who says, imagine if Malaysia offered Mandarin or Tamil in Sekolah Kebangsaan. Malaysians would be in demand all over, bridging the West and fast-growing East. Instead, we spend so many hours on subjects driven by the assumption that Malaysia is mono-ethnic, with minorities dumped with filler subjects like moral that adds no value. I'm not saying we shouldn't learn these subjects. They have value, but time is scarce and must be used optimally. It's a balancing act, and at this moment, it's skewed to one way, sadly.
Which goes back, you said let's start at the start, but we could go back even further to the relationship between language and nationalism, right? Because that's really what's at the heart of this, this idea that one's language or the value of languages kind of speaks to the value of a country or national identity as a whole, when that doesn't always have to be the case. Just to say that currently most national schools do offer Mandarin and Tamil, but as electives, and they must provide the teaching of Chinese or Tamil as well as indigenous languages where, whenever practical, if the parents of at least 15 pupils in the school request that the particular language be taught, which I think also speaks to a point raised within that tweet about resources, right? Because that's the other thing that you have to consider if and when you are introducing classes and you want to go to the trouble of hiring a teacher, bringing one in, you are going to have to ensure that there are enough people to take that on.
So there are a number of things to pick up here, right? One is the value of learning a language in and of itself. What could be gained by equipping our students with not just Bahasa Malaysia and English, but also an additional language. And tying that back to a language that has roots here in Malaysia. And therefore, I think expanding that conversation of what a local language could be, what we consider a language that's our own. So I think there's a lot to unpack. I personally think exposure to languages at an early age is so useful for children. Many syllabi around the world actually incorporate this already. I mean, in Europe, for instance, kids begin studying their first foreign language between the ages of 6 and 9. So I think that there is a lot to be said for that opportunity. But I do think that here, that idea of language is so politically fraught as well.
And it's such a pity, right? Because if you think about the value of learning languages and different languages for your studies, it's immense. Just the exposure to different vocabularies, to different turns of phrase. One of the great values of, or one of the great things about being a Malaysian is understanding a joke that is told in a variety of languages. It is one of the very important aspects of Malaysian humour, I think, is the specificity of jokes that sometimes only apply because you understand Manglish or because you understand the languages that constitute Manglish. The other thing I will say is I don't get why we're so proud about being bilingual. It's great that we are, most of us, functionally anyway, but we could be trilingual or
multilingual. We'll go with multilingual.
Quadlingual sounds awful. But I think that we have a lot of pride in being bilingual. But the truth of the matter is it wouldn't be that hard at all to become multilingual, especially when you consider the fact that people actually pay money to send their children abroad for immersion, right? To say that, okay, I want my kid to learn, I don't know, Mandarin or French or what have you, so I will send them abroad and thus they will be thrown in the deep end. You get the deep end here. You can. You can, in fact, have entire conversations with people where you get that kind of immersive quality that will help you learn a language that is part of your curriculum. And so, just as a lover of language, I'm not even speaking about the political slant behind this. I think just as a lover of language, as an understander also of how language factors into your ability to get work in the future, I agree with this entirely.
I also wanted to just say that being able to speak each other's languages is one step closer to being able to communicate with people who are perhaps not like us, or who perhaps we otherwise won't have access to, again, something that's so important in a country like Malaysia.
So I think the question is, when we talk about national unity, are we talking about national unity in one language, or are we talking about national unity being people being able to understand each other's languages and also speaking the national tongue? You know, it's a lot of different aspects being baked into this. But we'd like to hear from you. Mandarin is trending on Twitter today. And do you think that Mandarin and Tamil, for example, should be compulsory subjects in school? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
So for today on Twitter, Mandarin is trending, and this is amidst a sort of suggestion for Malaysia to offer Mandarin or Tamil in national schools, Sekolah Kebangsaan, and not merely as an elective. We wanted to hear from you. Do you think that they should, in fact, be compulsory subjects?
Okay, so we have Ling, who says, what would be awesome if we have BM and English as the main language and all school children have to learn Mandarin, Tamil, and Arabic as an extra subject for all? My sister learned Arabic in the first half of her primary school learning in Kuantan, and when she was an expat in Dubai, she was using what she learned 40 years ago. You never lose learning a language.
I've always wanted to be able to speak the UN languages, meaning the languages that are listed as the official modes of communication, not for anything, and not even because I think that highly of the United Nations, actually, but just because my read on that was always that these are the languages of diplomacy and commerce in some ways. And Arabic factors in there, so does Spanish, actually. And some other languages that often come up are the European Latin-based languages. But for I do agree that here at least, yeah, Mandarin, Tamil would have a lot of use.
Would have a lot of use, and I think are also languages that are different enough from the ones that use the Roman alphabet, i.e. English, Spanish, French, to offer actually a real opportunity to, you know what they say, that it molds your brain in a certain way when you learn a language early enough. We have Zulkifli, who says, Mandarin, I speak Mandarin.
Zulkifli, you're doing one better than me then, because I understand Mandarin. I certainly do not speak it very well at all. Ming Shen says, if every Malaysian knew each other's languages at an equal level, the debate to abolish vernacular schools would be over. And that is a pretty interesting point. I also actually wanted to pick up on something about Malaysian knowing one another's languages. And that is, you know, that very specific happiness you feel when somebody speaks your language. And this is why people in service staff, and this is why rock stars who visit our country make the effort to just say, terima kasih, one time. Like they yell it. And then everybody gets real happy. But the point is that the kind of recognition that you feel when somebody makes the effort to say something to you in your language, in the language that you grew up with, perhaps, or in the language that your family speaks, it has a lot of meaning. And I think that if we were to respect one another's languages equally, that would go a long way towards creating this much touted idea of national unity.
I completely agree. I think it's also about being made to feel like you matter, not expecting you to speak a language that perhaps is not the easiest for you, but instead reaching out in something that you're comfortable with. And all of these things, of course, go a long way towards making you feel like you're friends, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to, that someone cares about you. We have Boy, who says, we are proudly multilingual. I nak tapau nasi lemak siham eh, mau sapade dalam kereta. And then he says, even Portuguese. And I'm not sure which part of that sentence was Portuguese, but that's my ignorance.
Is it kereta? I assumed it was kereta, but that's just because it sounds like jendela, which is the one that I know.
Which
is
the word we inherited from Portuguese, yes.
Yes. So yeah, while we look that up, or while Boyi gets back to us. I think that this is always the example that is cited. And I think the beauty of it is that if we could go beyond ordering food and, you know, saying hello to people, that would go a long way. Like I said, I would love to be able to understand more of the conversations that are around, that are part of my daily soundtrack. You know, I would love to be able to understand more. And if I had that kind of ingrained in me at school, it could only be a good thing. Boy is back to say, yep, it's greater. I feel very vindicated.
Good
in
on
my
you.
Guess. Thank you.
So you owned that full sentence then?
Yes, I did. I did. Although I would not have managed your pronunciation. So thank you very much for that. Do you think that Mandarin and Tamil, for example, should be compulsory subjects in school? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.